There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Yeah, let's go straight to Washington because they're doing like proclamations and things getting started with day two of the impeachment proceedings in the Senate.
The majority leader is recognized.
Our colleagues, no motions were filed this morning. So we'll proceed to the House manager's presentation. We will go for approximately 2 hours and take a short recess when there is an appropriate break time between presenters.
Pursuant to the provisions of Senate Resolution 483, the managers for the House of Representatives have 24 hours to make the presentation of their case. The Senate will now hear you.
Mr. Chief Justice, Senators, Counsel for the President, and my fellow House managers, I want to begin by thanking you, Chief Justice, for a very long day, for the way you have presided over these proceedings. And I want to thank the Senators also. We went well into the morning, as you know, until I believe around 2 in the morning. And you paid attention to every word and argument you heard from both sides in this impeachment trial, and I know we are both deeply grateful for that. It was an exhausting day for us, certainly, but we have adrenaline going through our veins, and for those that are required to sit and listen, it is a much more difficult task. And of course, we know our positions. You have the added difficulty of having to weigh the facts and the law. So I want to begin today by thanking you for the conduct of the proceedings yesterday and for inviting your patience as we go forward. We have some very long days yet to come. So let us begin. When a man, unprincipled in private life, desperate in his fortune, bold in his temper, possessed of considerable talents, having the advantage of military habits, despotic in his ordinary demeanor, known to have scoffed in private at the principles of liberty, when such a man is seen to mount the hobby horse of popularity, to join in the cry of danger to liberty, to take every opportunity of embarrassing the general government and bringing it under suspicion, to flatter and fall in with all the nonsense of the zealots of the day, it may justly be suspected that his object is to throw things into confusion, that he might ride the storm and direct the whirlwind. Those words were written by Alexander Hamilton in a letter to President George Washington at the height of the Panic of 1792, a financial credit crisis that shook our young nation. Hamilton was responding to sentiments relayed to Washington as he traveled the country that America, in the face of that crisis, might descend from a Republican form of government, plunging instead into that of monarchy. The framers of the Constitution worried then, as we worry today, that a leader might come to power not to carry out the will of the people that he was elected to represent, but to pursue his own interests. They feared that a president would subvert our democracy by abusing the awesome power of his office for his own personal or political gain. And so they devised a remedy as powerful as the evil it was meant to combat: impeachment. As centuries have passed, our founders have achieved an almost mythical character. We are aware of their flaws, certainly some very painful and pronounced indeed. And yet, when it came to the drafting of a new system of government never seen before and with no guarantee it would succeed, we cannot help but be in awe of their genius. Their prescience, even, vindicated time and time again. Still, it may be because of their brilliance and the brilliance of their words, we find year after year it more difficult to imagine them as human beings. This is no less true of Alexander Hamilton, notwithstanding his recent return to celebrity. But they were human beings. They understood human frailties even as they exhibited them. They could appreciate, just as we can, how power can corrupt. And even as we struggle to understand how the framers might have responded to presidential misconduct of the kind...
All right. So that is, sounds a lot like yesterday with Schiff as the lead House manager presenting the case to the jury that is the Senate, who... We're going to be on, Dalton, we're going to be on Senator's sleeping watch again. Some senators fell asleep yesterday. See if they can wake them up for today. Coming back, candidate for House of Representatives, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl joins us on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. We talked about it this morning some, and looking at MPO meetings, Metropolitan Planning Organization meetings, which I got to say, for me, before we got in the big debate about tolling of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge plan, I was pretty ignorant about how MPOs, their existence and how they worked and all that. Of course, many of us got a crash course last year in this. But today, on both sides of the bay, Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization had a meeting where they, I think, passed a motion to continue discussion on an alternative plan for a new Mobile River Bridge. And then on the west side of the bay in Mobile County, one as well. And fresh out of that meeting, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl, joins us now. Thanks for your time. We have it. There we go. I got to press the right button. There we go. There he is, Jerry Carl.
All right. Great to hear from you, Sean. Thank you.
Hey, good to hear from you as well. So walk us through today's Mobile side MPO meeting.
Well, we got a presentation from some folks over in the Eastern Shore, exit 35. Their concern is the ramps. The bridge, as it's proposed, or as we have looked at it, is basically turning into what we would view as an expressway. It would move people rapidly from point A to point B. Not many ramps, if on and off ramps at all. It's purely for traffic flow. But it also bypassed exit 35. We had a group of businessmen that came over here, made a presentation to us, and I know they were making a presentation at the Eastern Shore MPO also. But the presentation is, you know, try to include that in any future plans. And we're not even there yet. We're nowhere close to that. We're trying to get the two MPOs to agree on how to move it forwards and then worry about details. That's a challenge, you know, when you get 30 people around the table, mm-hmm. I can imagine, but it's looking positive. We have never quit working on this bridge. Senator Albritton has certainly done a fantastic job of keeping it alive, talking to all of us, talking to the governor's office, keeping it moving. We've all worked on different parts of it. We're going to build a bridge, period. We are going to build a bridge.
Okay.
Now, what's it going to look like? I can't answer that today. I don't think anybody can answer that today. I just don't think we're at that point. We're at that place.
Well, you've talked about this before, and I heard you talking about it Saturday during the debate. The debate is a no-frills version of this. I think you and I are in agreement. We need the infrastructure, but bringing that price tag down to something a lot more reasonable.
Well, and we've also got to look at the federal aspect of it. We have people that want bike lanes. Are we going to get some repercussion because we don't put bike lanes on there? We take those off. We have an observation tower, I think, that's still on the plans as we are visualizing them. We haven't done any redrawing, but that's still on the plans. How much of that can we back? How much can we get down to bare bones? Because we want to build a bridge and or an expressway to take us from point A to point B for the least amount of money and no tolls. And when we get to that point, we have to figure out how to finance it. We have to make a presentation to the state on how this can be financed, how it can be paid for without a toll. So yeah. It is a lot of ifs. It's far from being ready for the public to look at. There's a lot of us on there that don't trust some of the numbers. We don't trust some of the sources that it's coming from. And I'm leaning heavily on government when I say that, not individuals. So there's a lot of distrust. We've got a long way to go just to get to a point of being able to agree on a basic bridge.
Okay. I want to go back and kind of pick this apart. I got a lot of questions for you. First of all, just a simple exit 35. I should know. Is that Spanish Fort Daphne, or which one is that?
Yeah, that's Spanish Fort Daphne. And the way it is laid out, the original plan, the expressway literally goes over the top of the existing exit now. I mean, it drops. It puts traffic down in between 35 and I think 37. So it will actually dump back onto the existing I-10 as we know it now. And that's certainly an issue that we've got to view. Do we have to do it in this first phase? I don't think so. Can we word it where it's going to be done in a second phase as money is acquired? That's kind of the way I'm leaning. If we can do it all at once, it would certainly make it a whole lot easier.
Okay.
So I understand the Eastern Shore. By all means, I fully support what they're saying, but we've got to get to a point where we all agree. First of all, we got to build a bridge.
Right, yeah, not get derailed by this one thing at this point. People who have not been following this, Commissioner Carl, let's talk about this proposed bridge. Is a so they understand a separate structure from stem to stern from what exists right now. Right, it's not running. It's not on I-10. It's separate.
It is, but the expressway mentality would leave the existing bayway and the existing causeway as is.
Right.
The expressway would literally just be moving people rapidly from point A to point B, without any on and off ramps.
Well, okay. This is the same idea we see, like in small towns. You can choose to go the bypass or the business district, right? I mean,
basically. The local traffic obviously would continue using the bayway as we have it now. And our trucks and visitor traffic would actually be more inclined to use the expressway.
Okay.
Now, the real issue is the tolling. How do we do it without tolls?
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Least of all.
That's where I was going. How are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, exactly. Originally, we talked about bonding it out. Well, you get into about the numbers we saw today was $1.2 billion. We're going to have to bond out somewhere, I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, $300 million when it's all said and done. And to put it on the TIP program, you have to show how you're going to pay the government back. There has to be a funding mechanism. So that's where we've really hit a screeching halt here. How much is the state willing to do? How much even local government? We had an idea thrown out of possibly local governments participating in some of that debt. I don't know if that's feasible or not. Don't even know if it's legal. But we've got to build a bridge. We've got to look past our needs today. We have to look 20, 30, and 40 years ahead of ourselves. If we're going to become the distribution hub that many of us have worked on so hard over the last 8 years, we've got to build something to get more traffic through here smoother.
Okay. So the idea is, and you can correct me, I'm just working off what was put out last week, has this roadway starting at Virginia Street on the west side, right? Like people before they got near the Wallace Tunnel, they get off at Virginia Street, take the expressway to go over. And you're looking at doing this without a toll. And of course, the big question is, how much federal money will be there? You know, I argue that if President Trump wins re-election, maybe then we really double back down on his campaign. You know, one of his planks of his campaign was infrastructure work. He was talking about spending lots of money to do that, federal money.
Well, President Trump's office called me last week, and I got to spend about 45 minutes talking to him about several projects. And in a very nice way, I reminded him that the Trump campaign got kicked off in Mobile. He has heavy, heavy support in the Mobile, Baldwin County, coastal Alabama region, which that goes without saying. And we would love some help, on the Airbus project. That was my first ask, and my second ask was the bridge. Let's revisit the bridge. And they were supposed to take both of those messages back to the president, and I promise you, once I'm elected, that's the first two projects I'm going up there talking about, and he's supposed to already know about them, according to the information I sent him.
Okay, so there's
part
of it.
And they talked to me about the Louisiana project, Louisiana Bridge, and how it differed from this bridge. And I fully understand.
And what you're talking about is
a safety issue, because it was a very, very old metal structure. Ours is a traffic flow issue.
But so people know what you're talking about. That was when President Trump had talked about building a new bridge at Lake Charles or somewhere over there?
Right, right.
All right.
Yeah, that was like a 60-year-old metal structure and really had lived far past its expectancy.
If we look at this proposed project, so, okay, there's the federal component. How much would be there? Then you mentioned bonding, and you've said this a couple times. This is something that you and I also talked about back when they were proposing the toll on the bridge project as it stood last year. And this question came up, why do we have to have a public-private partnership? Can't the state do its share in a bond or financing? And so many said, no, it can't be done. You're talking about bonding, so
no,
you must believe
$2.3 billion. Of course it cannot be done.
But what about some portion of it the state could bond?
So we bring the cost of the bridge back down to, we can argue over 1.1 or 1.27 billion, and then we've got a workable number, because we've got $125 million already coming from the feds that can be applied towards that. You know, we've got the possibility of some more money coming from the federal government, because I know Congressman Burns and Shelby are still working on it. They're still trying to get us some money for this project. So we can do it. Can the state bond it? Of course they can bond a portion of it, but are they willing to do it? I mean, that's where we're really at. We're at the mercy of the state. We can't dictate. Local government cannot dictate and tell the state what to do with that. They're our tax dollars. That's not our job.
Right.
We can't do it. We can only ask. So at this point, we're trying to come up with a very simple plan, and we're far from talking about it. Just get that out of the way. But we're trying to come up with a simple plan that we can take to the governor and say, okay, governor, this is what we envision, and this is what we would like your help with. Would you do it for us?
So we're talking about how to get this done, and what you have said, without tolls. And I have I've mentioned this last week, and this is me talking here. It's an unpopular opinion. But I think if there had to be a toll, which I don't want, but my big problem with the last toll that was proposed is that toll was put on a currently free roadway, being the Wallace Tunnel, I-10 through the Wallace Tunnel. That's when they lost me. That's when they lost me. Yeah, that's when they lost me on this too. If there's something that is maybe luxury is not the right term, but it's an alternate route, you don't have to take it. If you don't want to, you can still go the way you're going today for free. You know, if there had to be a toll on that, of some, then people make a choice.
How about the expressway concept once again? And I'm not for tolls. I want to figure out how to do it without tolls.
I'm the one talking about that. That's not you. Yeah.
Let's just say, I'm sorry, do I?
No, I'm saying I'm the one who mentioned it. You didn't mention it. Yeah.
Yeah. But suppose the expressway, let's just say it was tolled. The locals are going to use the bayway and the causeway. We're not going to use the expressway unless we're in a real big hurry. We know there's a wreck somewhere on that. And then we pick it up. Cooper talked to us, Aldott talked to us last week, and I did miss it. I had to get out early and get back over here for another function. But he talked about the tolling on the bridge could have been as low as $2.
state never told us that.
Yeah.
All we heard was $6.
Hey, do this. I'm right up against the news break. Can you hold on with me? Because I want to get more on that. I heard a little bit about it. I want to get some more information. Talking to candidate for Congress, AL1, and Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl. Talking about the MPO meeting today and this North Bay Expressway project. Grab your calls calls and text at 343-0106, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with AL1 candidate and Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl. First, I want to check in with Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Angelo, we often talk about all the cool stuff you have for sale at Mobile Bay Coins, but let's talk about some of the services as well.
One of the important services that we provide for free to all of our customers is a free appraisal. So if you've got a coin collection or a jewelry collection, whether that's something that you've been collecting over the years, or maybe it's something that somebody in the family passed down to you and you just want to know what a current value is for those items, bring it by the shop here at 2204 Government Street. You know, we'll go through all the items, sort it out, talk to you about it, and give you a no-charge appraisal on your items. And who knows, if it's something you want to go ahead and sell and turn that into some cash, maybe for some, I don't know, Christmas bills, something like that, we'll probably write you a check or hand you some money right then and there if you decide to sell.
All right. How about this, y'all, for an endorsement of those services? Obviously, y'all know I'm a friend of the folks at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, especially Angelo, and I shop there. But I took the most important person, this would get a man in trouble, one of the co-most important people in a man's life, my mother, there to use y'all's services. And that's how much I trust you. So everybody needs to keep that in mind. I mean, you get some real world expertise on what stuff is worth. And I appreciate that so much, Angelo. I mean, it's a great service. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. And it was great to meet your lovely mother. She's a sweetheart. And you're right. Mama is most important in our life, with a close second to a loving wife, right?
There you go. Well said. All right. Directions again to come see y'all.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. They can always check us out online at mobilebaycoins.com or go into either Facebook or Instagram and check us out there.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and continuing our conversation with Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1, who is at the MPO meeting today on the west side of the bay. I guess dueling MPO meetings. Eastern Shore had one, and Commissioner Carl, Mobile had one.
And the timing just worked out that way. It obviously was no big master plan. And, the MPO on the Eastern Shore is obviously in communication with us over here. We work very well together.
I want to pick your brain on something, because you mentioned it a second ago, and I saw this story, maybe it was early this week, or I think it was earlier this week, that LDOT Director John Cooper had, and you mentioned it, had said that that he was talking about $2 tolls. Commissioner, I do this for a living. I pay attention to this stuff. It's my job. I'm pretty sure I didn't hear a discussion on $2 tolls.
No, none of us. I don't think it would have changed a lot of minds about no toll, but it would have at least changed the conversation. What we did learn last week in that short presentation is they were bounding by some confidentiality agreements that they could not talk about the project itself. Well, on one hand, we're talking about they want our opinion and they want our input, but on the other hand, they can't give us any information because they're bound by confidentiality agreements. We got confidentiality agreements. We work under probably 10 or 12 at any given time on projects. That's why I don't share stuff with you,
mm-hmm.
Or on the air, because we're bound by that. They could have at least told us that. We could have probably restructured the way we did our response, and I feel like we were shortchanged, and certainly the taxpayers were, and I'm not going to blame everything on the governor. We're at a point now that we've got to quit pointing and try to blame who. We've got to come up with an answer of how.
Yeah, and
let's focus on what we all agree on and move in that direction, and thus don't focus on what we disagree on. You get stopped by that. I mean, we need true leadership here. We don't need people that want to sit around and argue about $2 or $6. We need to, let's figure out how we can build a bridge and then back into that.
There we go. All right.
As strange as that may sound.
No,
like
I get
the business.
I get it.
You
and here's
put a model out there, and then you figure out how to finance it.
Well, and the thing I worry about, though, is we know that this is a need, and all the jawing that we're all doing about it, nobody's pouring concrete or doing anything to build it.
The only people winning are the folks in North Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to become one. We can't be splintered up. We've got to become one. We've got to have leadership that will step up and say, you know, I speak as the entire group, and this is the direction I would like for us to go, with our hat in our hand and talking to the governor.
Well,
we can't demand that things be done a certain way because they don't have to do that.
I'll have to just stay home on that trip, but good that we got people that could go do it.
I do it every day, Sean.
I know
every
you do.
Every day I do that.
And listen,
I don't like it, but you got to do it if you're going to do the business to the people.
Well, and I think you will have, you know, just personally, if you have a system that leaves I-10 and the Wallace Tunnel as it is, no toll for the causeway, no toll for the bayway. You want to do something else, then at least I think it's worth, you know, talking about how that's done. I think that's fair. As long as, I think a lot of people are just saying, as long as the current route stays as it is and stays free, we can talk.
And we all agree on that. So let's move from there. You know, the next thing is, okay, how we're going to build a bridge and how we're going to build this expressway and how we're going to finance it. These are the big questions. But my whole pushback was the bayway and the causeway and tolling Wallace Tunnel. That's been paid for by taxpayers. There's no reason to pay for it twice. But the whole focus was to push people up to the expressway, or it would help their model help pay for the new bayway bridge system. So these are things we're learning after the fact. All the elected officials, we were as shocked as anybody sitting in that meeting last week. Y'all, you know, everybody's phone was lighting up going, did you know that? Well, nobody knew anything.
Wow. And we're going to have to pick this conversation up going forward. Remind folks, too, if they want to check out more information about your campaign for Congress, how do they do it?
Gary Carr for Congress. And it's pretty easy to remember. I'm the guy with the two first names. So when you go to the ballot March the 3rd, 2020, I'm the man. I appreciate your support. GaryCarrForCongress.com.
Very good. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thanks, y'all. Bye.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, What's Working with Cam Marston. Special airtime with Auburn Hoops starting this evening at 6. All right, so just an adjustment there. So we'll be going to Cam's show in the next hour. Big thank you as well to Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate AL1 in the Republican primary, for joining us as well. Now, I want to shift gears for a second and take you to Montgomery. All right, go to the phones and go to Montgomery to check in with District 105 Rep. Chip Brown, joining us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for making some time.
Hey, thanks, Sean. I'm glad to be with you.
I know you're busy up there. The budget meeting's going on in Montgomery?
That's right. We've got 2 days of hearings today with the Education Trust Fund hearings all day, and then tomorrow is the General Fund budget hearings.
I want to get into that in depth, but I do want to talk about what you have coming up later on today. At 1:30 today or 1 o'clock? You have a press conference coming up in Montgomery.
That's right. At 1:30, we'll be discussing my bond reform constitutional amendment. And if you remember, we brought this last year, and it passed the House 92-3, had bipartisan support, and it just bogged down in the last few days of the session in the Senate. And we're bringing that back this year. And Senator David Sessions will be sponsoring a companion bill in the Senate. And this year, we've had the tragedy with Anaya Blanchard, the young murder victim from Auburn, and that case, you know, is a perfect example. The guy was out on bond after being charged with two kidnappings and attempted murders, had a huge rap sheet, and so Anaya Blanchard's mother has reached out to us, and we will be making an announcement that we'll be naming this after her, and it'll be known as Anaya's Law. And so hopefully we can save innocent Alabamians in the future from, you know, from predators.
Yeah, and from a tragedy like that, bringing extra attention to this situation. Now, obviously, because you talked about last session and before you filed this, so this has been something on your radar and others even before this horrible tragedy with Anaya Blanchard. But it kind of, you talk about when people are out on probation. Walk us through what this means, like in regular, like Sean Sullivan terms. Let me understand, you've got somebody that, kind of walk us through, they commit a crime, they get bond. Tell me how this all works.
Right. Well, currently under Alabama law, the only time you can really be denied bond is if you're charged with capital murder. And so that allows, you have situations like close to home a few years ago where you had the young lady that stopped on Dolphin Street coming home from work. It was attempted carjacking. And the individuals that, you know, they shot her in the face, mm-hmm. terrible tragedy. They were all, technically, they were able to bond out. And one of them went and a few days later shot several people at a Mardi Gras parade. And so what my bill does is it allows a district attorney to, someone's arrested under a Class A violent felony, and you're talking about murder, capital murder, kidnapping, rape, violent domestic assault, your violent personal crimes. It allows a district attorney to go to a judge and request an evidentiary hearing and present evidence to the judge that why this person is an imminent threat to the community, to themselves, or is a flight risk if they were to be released on bond. And so the judge can either grant that request, have the hearing, deny the request, and go ahead and grant bond, or after hearing the evidence, can hold that individual that he deems a risk, an imminent risk to the community, can hold him without bond, or can go ahead and set bond. But currently, there's not that provision there, so it's basically a revolving door. You're putting dangerous predators back out on the street. And it's a constitutional amendment. It would have to go to a vote of the people. But I just think it's really a way to protect Alabamians from the most violent of the violent. You know, it's supported by the District Attorneys Association. It's supported by the Sheriff's Association, the Police Chiefs Association, and it has bipartisan support as well, which I think is important. It has Republican and Democrat support, and I think it has an opportunity to really have an impact. I mean, this, the Anaya Blanchard case wouldn't have had a direct impact on that particular case because it wouldn't have come, if it would have passed last year, it wouldn't have been on the ballot until March. But if we can pass it this session, we can get it on the ballot in November and hopefully prevent some future tragedies.
Yeah, and right, it wouldn't have been passed, but what I was pointing out, I guess, is even before this emblematic murder and tragedy here in our state with Anaya Blanchard, this has been a thing that has been on the minds of people for a while. And if you're just joining us, talking to Representative Chip Brown, District 105, about this bill, press conference coming up at 1:30 today. So this doesn't, I want to get this straight, this doesn't compel the judge, it doesn't require the judge to not give bond, right? I mean,
that's right. It actually just gives, it gives the judges another tool. You know, when I talk to judges, a lot of them want this because it gives them an opportunity under the Eighth Amendment that they can say, hey, this guy is a predator, he's going to be a danger to the community, and now under Alabama law I will be able to hold him without bond, whereas if it were held to the, you know, if there was a case today, that option isn't there. And from a civil liberty standpoint, I think it's important that we judge each case on its merits.
Right, that's where I was going to get. Yeah, I was going to ask you, how does that, isn't this taking past history and letting it reflect a current judgment?
Well, it is from the standpoint of, if you're in there for a violent crime and you do have a history of that, then they can look and say, okay, this guy, there's a good chance this guy is gonna you know, go out in the community and commit some kind of violent act. So, but the fact that it is, it's not mandatory, but it is, gives the judge discretion, I think is important on several fronts, and that from a civil liberty standpoint, it still upholds that innocent till proven guilty. And it also, it doesn't take a blanket approach where, a good example, I think if you mandate it, let's say attempted murder or murder.
Okay.
If you say attempted murder, if, you know, you run the risk if it's mandated, where what if someone could really be charged with some type of assault, but yet that DA wanted him to be held, and so they just upped the charges. I mean, that you run that risk. You know, what if it's some type of on you know, it's just, it's, I think by doing it from a discretion standpoint, you're good under the Eighth Amendment. I had constitutional scholars look at this, and they said, you know, we're on solid ground. It's based on actually Florida law, and I think that's the way to go. I think that if you mandate it, then you're looking at another issue as well, and that's jail overcrowding. You know, in Alabama, we're very close to having a federal takeover of our prison system, and you know, our local jails are busting at the seams, and a lot of the people that are in our local jails really should be in state jails, I mean state prisons, but there's not room for them, so they send them to local jails. So you're going to run, if you just take a blanket approach, that's just not the way to go. You know, this way, by doing it the way that we're wanting to do it, it I think it has an opportunity to really keep the worst of the worst off the streets and keep Alabamians safer.
All right. So the press conference coming up today, and the name of the bill will be, the law, if passed, is what?
It will be Anaya Blanchard's mother's requested that we name it after her daughter, and it will be known as Anaya's Law.
There it is.
I'm honored to do that.
Yeah,
I really am.
And I'm sure they've heard it from many, but make sure they hear it from us down here, too, that the hearts broke all over the state and all over the country for that family. And it's just such a sad story. And hopefully, you know, what you're working on now can keep these situations abated in the future. We appreciate your work on this. And I am, you got to promise, we'll get you back on to talk about the budget process and what that looks like going into session.
I'd love to.
Do we have any money? Do we have
anything.
Any money? Representative Brown, do we have any money, or are we out? We out of money in Montgomery.
You know, actually, thankfully, under the Trump economy, we're unemployment in Alabama is at an all-time low, and we're creating more jobs than ever before, and that's driving the machine, which means more money in the general fund and more money in the education trust fund. I think we're looking at teacher raises. We're looking at mental health. Doing some mental health reform, of course, prison reform, and I think right now we're financially in good shape.
Good news. Representative Brown, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. All right, coming up next hour, What's Working with Cam Marston, Auburn basketball tonight at 6. I'll see you all tomorrow morning, bright and early, for Mobile Mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. Y'all have a great one.